Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Happy Wednesday. It is hump day. We are midway through this bad boy. Welcome to the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR, and we have a loaded show today. We have an hour. I think we're going to need like three. We don't have three, but we need three because there's so much to get into. There's so much sound that we have, so many voices to speak today that is absolutely incredible. We have sounds from the Suns. They're going to go for 8-0. We got sounds from the Mercury. They're trying to keep it together and keep rolling. ASU, Pac-12, Big Ten, Ray Anderson, Herm Edwards. We have a bunch of sounds from there, too. The Diamondbacks, they just can't seem to get right. We have stuff from them as well. And at 10 minutes after the hour, we have the one and only Michelle Garner, ASU beat writer for the Arizona Republic. She's going to come on and break down some of the stuff we heard yesterday from Ray Anderson and from Herm Edwards. And we're going to talk Big Ten and Pac-12 and how there are no fall sports. This devil called called COVID, it's got it. According to Ray Anderson, there will be no fall sports at ASU until January 1st. So we're going to jump into all that stuff, and we're going to do this right after I let you know that we are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. When you go in there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. You also become a club member. You get access to a member's lounge back there. I'm telling you, it's nice. I've been a member for over 8 years now, and you get a locker and back up to a humidor. There's a ton of televisions back there. There's always a game on, and you can flip different TVs. So just because someone's watching maybe golf on one TV doesn't mean you have to watch golf. Flip to basketball, flip to football, flip to something else on the other. You can do all that in the members' lounge. All you have to do is become a member. And there's a bunch of perks that come with that as well. Now, if you don't want to become a member, no problem. Go in. There's a great open area for everyone else to sit. And, yes, there are TVs there as well. One of the best selections of cigars you will find in the Valley. If you cannot get in there in person, no worries. Go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Go online, find the cigar that you want, and it will be shipped out more than likely that exact same day. So there is no excuse for you not to do your business over at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And don't forget, go in person. Let them know PLR from the Cage will send you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. ASU, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and I should have included ASU in the Pac-12, there will be no fall sports. They've been canceled. Now, there's a lot that went into this. There's a lot that was said. Ray Anderson, there was a Zoom call meeting yesterday with the Pac-12 and the media, and ASU followed that up with a Zoom call of their own to further show what's happening and why they came to the decision that they came to. Now, there's a lot of things that are being talked about. We're going to get into a lot of that with Michelle when she calls in. So I kind of want to get some of the sound out the way now and kind of set this up so that way when she calls in, we can speak to her directly about the topics and not about all the other ancillary stuff that I definitely want us to get to, which is very important to what's going on. So right now, I want to play for you what Herm Edwards said And we're going to focus on football more than anything right now. And what he said about kids that and the seniors and what's happening with them, if they're going to lose eligibility, how disappointing it is, all that stuff, Herm gets into it right here.
I would think according to, you know, where they might get picked, no different than in bowl games. We've been fortunate the last 2 years we've played in two bowl games, and basically two of our first round picks didn't play, right? So, I mean, you can anticipate that. I mean, that's going to be part of it. But I do think a lot of guys will play. You know, I think if you don't feel good about your season that you had last year, and that's what they're looking at, you have the ability to perform, to maybe upgrade your stock as far as how they're looking at. So I think it's individual preference, and you would understand that.
And they have to. You know, if guys don't want to play now, ASU is no, this isn't something new to them. They have players that didn't play in their last bowl game the last 2 years because of where those players thought they were going to draft, from Brandon Ayuk, N'Keal Henry, and Eno Benjamin. None of them played because they were not going to jeopardize getting injured. And I hate to call it a meaningless bowl game because a bowl game is a bowl game. But it wasn't a championship game. It wasn't anything like that. So ASU is used to players not necessarily playing in bowl games, and especially their top players not playing in ball games. But it's still going to hurt, and it's not fair. And Ray Anderson talked about how it's not fair, but he also said everything isn't necessarily always going to be fair.
No one said life is fair and that you always get to bat in the cleanup spot in the lineup, that this is something that has impacted the world, impacted a lot of folks in a lot of different ways, and their experience is being impacted as well. It's about how do you respond, and hopefully we will provide a leadership and culture and environment here that will allow them to learn, but then get through this thing in a very positive way, but also reminding them that you know what? How are you going to respond? That's your responsibility also to help us figure out how we're all together going to respond. And so that's what we've been trying to do. All of that said, this is devastating for these student athletes.
And as you understand that, they understand it's devastating. They understand that there's a lot that's going on. Lee and Herm and Dr. Cole, they're not making light of this. But there is something Ray Anderson brought up. He talked about the disproportionate amount of people affected by COVID and how that's striking the black and brown players more. And he told the story of his own personal life and why making this decision was hard, but it was needed. Now, this is a long play, and I usually don't do long plays, but I think this is worth it. And I really think you should listen to this all the way through.
And I guess I would add that certainly hearing these young student athletes have a voice is actually inspiring. But everything they ask for, you can't grant. In our position in the athletic department here, certainly under the leadership of Dr. Crow, myself, and Herm, we don't have the luxury of abdicating our responsibility to protect the health and safety of these student athletes. So when I see a movement about we are united and we want to play, and even suggesting that, you know, we'll sign a liability waiver form, just let us play. We don't have the luxury of saying, okay, we're going to have a lawyered up legal document, relieve us of our responsibility to protect you from yourself. And if the medical and health information that we have from our very respected and renowned physician group said it's not safe enough to have these student athletes out there, then we can't give up our responsibility and accountability to do the right thing. So, my kids, it's still to this day, they're always having a voice and asking me for something, but that doesn't mean they get it all the time and then I abdicate my responsibility as a parent to protect them and hopefully provide them the right direction so the outcome is there. And then I'll be very frank with all of you, because I'm looking at the screen. I think I've known, at least got a chance to meet all of you at some point. This virus is having a disproportionate impact on minority African-American and brown communities. And so we owe it to all of our kids, but we certainly owe it to our students of color not to take any of that lightly. And then to the extent that we may, in some people's mind, be a little more protective, a little more cautious, then you know what? I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
And you heard that, and you heard what Ray was saying, and he went into a story of how when he was nine, his dad had a heart attack from basically bad arteries. He doesn't want that to happen to one of his players, knowing that COVID-19 could possibly cause lasting effects 7, 8, 9 years from now. And he doesn't want that to happen to players while they were on his watch when he could have done something about it. But we're going to bring in Michelle Gardner here, and she's been very gracious and has given us an extra minute or two. We got her here in exactly 15 seconds. We'll be back with the one and only Michelle Gardner, ASU beat writer for the Arizona Republic.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
And we went quick on this commercial break because we had to get Michelle in here on the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show with PLR. ASU beat writer for the Arizona Republic, the one and only Michelle Gardner. Michelle, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it. A lot of big news went down yesterday.
Oh, yesterday, by the time I finished, my brain was mush. I was exhausted. I was brain dead. It was just actually, it's been an exhausting 2 days because we kind of knew on Monday that this was probably coming down.
Yeah, and you know what? Actually a little bit longer clip with Ray, but I wanted to get your take on basically that clip and what you heard, and it seems like, unlike other conferences, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, even though I wasn't on the Big Ten Zoom call, it just seems like they don't want to take a chance that the other conferences do. What's your take on that?
You know, as much as I hate to admit it, I think it was the right call. Yeah, it's going to blow to not have college football to cover this fall, but you know, I'm coming at this also from a personal perspective that my brother had COVID, okay? My brother was diagnosed in June. He was in the hospital for 10 days, in ICU for 4. His entire family had it. He's now still got some complications from it when it comes to lung issues. And they don't know if what he's dealing with now as far as lung issues is residual effects from the COVID that he had. And he also has an underlying heart condition. So maybe I'm looking at this as somebody that's personally been affected by this, but I don't know how you can take a chance. And when you're talking about a contact sport like football, you're talking about a sport where you probably have 150 or so people involved between athletes, coaches, support staff, you know, from, and then times 12, you know, in the Pac-12. I just don't know how you can take a chance. I don't know how you could afford to say, hey, let's go play. I think there are too many questions. I agree with everything that Ray and the other Pac-12 administrators said. You know, and I think it would be worse if you started the season and then halfway through had to shut down. That's even worse.
Yeah, I agree with you. And first off, I did not know about your brother, so I'm glad he's doing better, and prayers for him to continue to get better. So, Michelle, do you think, and I hate to bring it up like this in this way, but I almost have to, I look at the country, and I look at, unfortunately, where the country is divided, and I hear all the time, don't bring politics into sports, but when I see 1600 Pennsylvania tweeting, and I see other politicians tweeting, then I think I have fair game to ask this question. We know the South is, the SEC is football. They could give up every pro team in the world and be fine. And that's also a very staunch area for 1600. The West, when you have Oregon and Washington and California and Colorado, that seems to lean another way as well. And the same with the Big Ten, if you look at some of those states. Do you think that has a part to do with the Big Ten and the Pac-12 being more okay with taking that wrath, whereas the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, where you have the Texas, Alabama, Florida, South Carolina, they may not want some of that smoke that will come if they cancel their season?
You know, it's so hard to say, and I agree with you. I hate to bring politics into it, too. I mean, we knew that the SEC from the start of this was going to dig their heels in and say, we're going to play. You know, and, you know, who knows? I just think that we're dealing with human lives here. And, you know, I hope nothing happens to those schools when they do go ahead and play. But I don't know. I just think there are too many questions. And the funny thing is you see tweets about from the other conferences like the Big 12 saying, well, you know, our people haven't said that it's not safe to continue. So it's like they're having medical people tell them one thing, and then, you know, then you've got the Pac-12 saying we're relying on our medical professionals to tell us what to do and how to proceed. So, you know, I just think it's everybody's got a different opinion, and I hope it's not a matter of politics. Who knows?
On the Carrie Lackey Law, I'm here on the Cave Show with TLR, Michelle Gardner, ASU beat writer for the Arizona Republic. This isn't a Pac-12 question, but I'm going to circle back around to it. Nebraska is saying they want to play no matter what. They're going to look for things to do. You've been doing this for a long time. If they go rogue and decide they're going to create their own schedule and do this, can the Big Ten kick them out and recoup their money or sue them for money? Or do they just have a type of injunction and block them and say, no, as a conference, we voted. Maybe you voted to play, but more of us voted not to play, and you're just out of luck.
You know, I don't know the ins and outs of that type of thing. I find it mind-numbing that they're taking the stance that they're taking. First of all, you're just going to willy-nilly find 10 opponents to play. I don't see how you do that. The other question people are saying is, what about football players from like ASU? Are they going to transfer and go to school XYZ that is playing? Is it really that easy to just say, oh, okay, ASU's not playing football, I'm going to go transfer to a school that is? I don't think that it's all that easy. It's you want to think it is, but I don't see how it's that easy to do that. So who knows? I can't think that – I think that maybe they're just blowing a lot of smoke. You know, I just can't see how you do that.
Yeah, I think they're being a loud kid in the room that's throwing a tantrum and someone needs to snatch him up. And then I'm glad you brought that up about people just transferring. Excuse me, I heard that not only about ASU, but Pac-12 schools and Big Ten schools. Isn't there this crazy thing called number of scholarships you can give? So if schools started taking other kids, wouldn't they have to leave the kids they have of scholarships first?
Probably. But again, that's just one of those things where it's easy to say, oh, hey, you know, my school's not playing, I'm going to transfer. I don't think kids and parents think these things through before they do that. And people that want to tweet, oh, hey, why don't they do this? I don't think they think these things through either. I don't see how you would just now, and you're halfway through a school year, you know, you're going to be starting a school year. You're just going to up and leave and go somewhere else. I think that's a lot of people just, again, blowing more smoke. I don't see how you do that. And, you know, these kids that are at a particular school, they pick that school for a reason, whether it's they're attached to the coaches or whatnot. Do you really want to up and do that for 1 year? And you could transfer to school A, B, or C, and what if that school gets shut down? I mean, there's nothing to say, you know, that it's a sure thing wherever that person would go. So what if you do decide to go somewhere and now you've got an outbreak and they shut down? So there's no guarantee that even though all these schools are saying, hey, we're going to play, there's no guarantee because you don't know. All it takes is one or two players, and then you've got an outbreak. Now you've got a problem, and now you're shutting down. So there's no sure thing anywhere, I don't think.
on the Carrie Lackey Law Line here on the Cable Show with PLR, Michelle Gardner, ASU beat writer for the Arizona Republic. Michelle, when you look at this season and they talk, and the one thing that I noticed, Pac-12 never used the word cancel. They keep saying postponed. If they play in the spring, which may be a possibility, I don't remember, but I think you and I mentioned something about this last time you were on the show. If they play in the spring, can you play a full schedule and expect to play another full schedule? Provided, let's go to that make-believe world like we were five. COVID gets to a point where they can play in the spring. Can they run kids back out there again in October or September, rather?
You know what? I think there would definitely have to be some adjustments made, but I think it also makes a big difference whether you're talking we're starting our season in January or we're starting our season in March. There's a big difference there. I think you would definitely have to scale back your postponed season, if you want to call it that. I don't think there's any way that you could ask a team to go out and play, you know, 10, 11, 12 games and then turn around and play a full season. So I think that a lot of things would have to happen. I think you might be looking more at like an 8-game season. Maybe you're looking at an 8-game season and you're not starting in August. Maybe you're starting in October. Okay. So obviously those are things yet to be discussed. And, you know, Ray Anderson had said that. And I think, you know, we had Ray twice. We had him on with the Pac-12 Zoom call, and then we had him with ASU Zoom call. And again, let's credit ASU because they made Herm and Ray available to us after the Pac-12 had their press conference. And I don't know of any other school in the Pac-12 that did that. So kudos to the ASU staff for doing so. But Ray even said, look, we're doing everything we can to protect our kids from COVID and make sure we've got their best interest in mind. Now, are we going to have their best interest in mind and roll them out there and have them play 16 games in a calendar year? So I think they're very, very well aware of that. And obviously that's not a scenario that anybody wanted to go to, but I think it's definitely a possibility, but there would definitely have to be exceptions made because, you know, this is a very hard contact sport and there's no way you can ask guys to go out there and play, you know, 16, 17, 18 games.
I'm the Carrie Lackey Law Line, Michelle Gardner, ASU beat writer for the Arizona Republic, here with the Cave Show with PLR. Michelle, when you say that there's no way you can ask guys to do that, are we basically in college football, and this is for the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, are we basically saying if we play in spring, if you have any thought that you may be drafted, you're just not going to play?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's yet – there are so many wrinkles that we have yet to iron out here as this thing moves forward. And that's a big one. And then the other thing is, do you move the draft? Do you move the combine? You know, what do you do if you're the NFL? So there are a lot of things yet to be seen, but I definitely see that as a potential thing. And they asked that to the authorities yesterday too. And Herm, I think, was the one that said, hey, yeah, that'll happen. If you're a guy that had a really good year last year and you don't necessarily need to play, you're probably not playing. If you're a player that had an okay year or maybe a not great year, maybe you do play because you want to improve your stock. So he said that he, in answer to that question, he said it definitely would have a lot to do with where you think you're pegged and what you think your stock is and how much you would need another season. But I think you would definitely, you know, what if you take a guy that's a first round draft pick? I'm not playing if I'm a first-round draft pick. And it's a lot like the bowl games. Herm said that, where you have guys ditching the bowl games to sit out and not get hurt and prepare for the draft. So, you know, I think a lot would just depend on how good a guy was and where he was pegged to go and if he thinks he can improve his stock.
Okay, so I'm going to make you in charge of everything. Everyone has to go to Michelle to answer this question because she can fix all the problems. So you ready? You're the problem solver.
Oh, boy. Okay.
If there is spring ball, and let's say the SEC and the ACC and Big 12 pull it off, what do you do with bowl games? Are there two sets of bowl games? Are there spring bowl games? and other fall bowl games. How do they pull that off?
You know what? That's something I haven't even heard mentioned. I honestly don't know what you do with that, because if you're a team that plays its game as scheduled, you're done in January. I don't know what you do. You can't wait until the other teams that start in January play their game, their seasons, and that now have bowl games in April. I don't think you can do that either. I don't know really what you would do in that scenario. Or, you know, do you have enough teams that are going to play that you can fill those bowl slots if you don't include the teams that are playing in the spring? So I think that's one of those things where your minor bowls probably would get canceled, because I don't see how you could have enough teams to fill those bowl slots. And, you know, these bowl games are set way in advance. So I don't know if it's as easy as saying, oh, okay, we're going to play the Weed Eater Bowl. We're not going to play that on December 30th. We're going to play it on such and such a date. I don't think you could do that either. So that's another, like I said, wrinkles that have yet to be ironed out. That's another whole wrinkle yet to be seen.
Yeah, that one gets me, because if we really are being honest, we know all this comes down to dollars. It always comes back to money at the end of the day. And if you, and not you, but in general, if you think that the sponsors of the Sugar Bowl and the Cotton Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl don't want teams playing to make some type of money, I think we're all kidding ourselves. And that's why I'm thinking, how do they pull that off so those bowls play and those sponsors get something back for the money they spend?
If, and again, that's a big if these three conferences and what other teams that are going to play, if they can pull that off, I think you still probably have your major bowls. But I think your minor bowls, I forget those. I can't see those happening.
You mean to tell me we may not get the Bahamas Popeyes Bowl? How can you cancel that one?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you on that one. I would be heartbroken. Sun Bowl? I don't know. But, you know, like I said, you know, we're dealing with unprecedented situations here. I don't think anybody has a game plan for anything, because as much as you want to think you can game plan for what could happen, it's a fluid situation and it's changing every day. So, you know, the other thing Herm said he's actually thought about that. And you know Herm. He probably has thought through every scenario, because that's Herm. But, you know, maybe it's one of those situations, too, where if you've got the spring, maybe you're limiting your number of snaps. He mentioned possibly, you know, obviously you change the way you practice and the way you play games, but maybe you've got a situation where maybe you have to limit the number of snaps a player can play. If you're going to have that many games, maybe you say, okay, you know, we're going to, you know, and I don't know if that would be a team thing or a conference thing or how you approach that, but that could be one of those things too, where that's one of the ways you can address this. Are they going to be playing too many games in a small stretch of time, is, you know, number of snaps or number of quarters that you can play.
Sean, to get you out of here on this one, Bobby Hurley seemed ready to go on a Zoom call he had the other day. Basketball set to go. Obviously, nothing will start till January 1st, according to Ray Anderson. Basketball, I know that, you know, technically you miss out of a lot of the preseason stuff, but basketball can kind of get some games in, I would think. How do you think it's going to affect not just him, but Charlie's ladies team and volleyball and those other sports? Do you think they'll all be able to adjust and get a season in some way, somehow, if they can get balling in January 1?
Well, I think it's a bit easier only because you're dealing with a limited number of athletes. With basketball, you're talking, what, 15 on a roster? It's not a matter of 85 like you have in football. So I think it's much more doable in basketball than it is in football. Usually, if I'm remembering correctly, I think ASU's first conference game in men's basketball was January 4th last year, and that was the game against the dreaded Arizona team. So I think they were going, they were going to go for, from 18 games to a 20 game conference schedule this year. So this year there probably were a few games scattered in December. You could probably still get a 20 game conference schedule in. You'd probably have to make some adjustments. No, is it, it's not great to not have your non-conference schedule played, but I think it's still doable to have a decent season and get your conference games in. But here's another thing. Now let's look from a basketball personnel standpoint. If you're Josh Christopher and you were probably going to be one and done this year, do you say, hey, I'm not going to bother here, I'm just going to go to the G League? You know, you're Remy Martin, you pulled out of the, you're Remy Martin, you pulled out of the draft. You know, now what? You know, if you're not going to have the season. I feel really bad for Bobby and for the basketball team, because you look at what they had, they were loaded, and we were all very, very excited with the potential that we see and we think can happen this year from a basketball standpoint. So, you know, I'm hoping for the best when it comes to basketball, but I think with basketball, let's see where we are in maybe in another 2 months, okay? If COVID is where it is now in 2 months, then I think we've got a big problem. But I think with, you know, and the other thing with basketball, Bobby was not quick in rushing his players back. And, you know, usually by now they're going full throttle in their skill work and they're going full throttle. But Bobby hasn't rushed these kids back. And some of the players, including the Christopher brothers, they're not even here yet. So I don't know if it was just a matter of he kind of maybe knew something, or Bobby just wasn't quick to rush guys back. And he knew that they would have enough time to kind of catch up, you know, if they were going to start the season when they did. So, you know, he took a very cautious approach with his team this year. And he talked about that on the Zoom. But I feel really bad for this basketball team because, you know, look at what they had, what they recruited, what they had coming back. They were loaded.
Yeah, they were.
Are loaded.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, you're right. Michelle, if we see baseball teams like the Cardinals and the Marlins and all these other games getting postponed and they're not in a bubble, how do we expect kids to not go to parties on campus and not hang out with other kids on campus and not hang out with girlfriends, boyfriends on campus and make it through your is that realistic?
Absolutely. That's my point when I'm saying these other three conferences that are going ahead and playing like they're unaffected, I think they're kidding themselves. And like I said, I think the worst thing is if you start playing and then you got to shut down again. Okay. To me, that's the really worst case scenario. And that's why I say with the number of people involved in a football program, you can't tell me that somewhere along the line that's not going to happen. And, you know, school A is going to have three or four guys test positive. And then another, I just don't see how you prevent that from happening.
Michelle, I appreciate you and I appreciate the time. Can you tell everyone where they can check out your great stuff at?
Well, my Twitter is M Gardner Sports, and that's also my Instagram, but yeah, and then our website is AZ Central, that you can find everything on ASU and as well as the other pro sports too. But I appreciate the time, and obviously this is not something we wanted to be talking about this time of year, but it is what it is. And like Herm says, it's how you adjust and how you respond to adversity, right?
Exactly. That's all we can do is listen and try to learn and not pretend like we know everything. And I appreciate the Pac-12. Listening and learning and being brave, and sometimes doing the right thing isn't the easy thing.
Right, absolutely.
So hey, Michelle, thank you. You're great as usual, and as always, and I appreciate your time.
Anytime.
All right, Michelle. That was the one and only Michelle Gardner, ASU beat writer for the Arizona Republic. Oh, that was a lot, and it is a lot. And she always has good information and great things and great points to talk about. And it's true. Sometimes when you're doing the right thing, it's not always the easiest thing. Sometimes it's easier just pretend this thing isn't even out there, load them up, play your sports, collect your money, cash your checks, and keep it moving. But everyone can't do it like that, and everyone isn't going to do it like that. Anyway, we took a short break. Now we need to take this other break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk Diamondbacks, sons. And if we have time to murk, we'll do all that right here on The Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thanks for joining us today. Thank you again to Michelle Gardner, ASU beat writer over there at the Arizona Republic. If you ever miss any part of the show, please go ahead and check us out every day replay at 3 o'clock on KSRN. Download the app from the Apple App Store, or you can get it from the Google Play Store as well. A lot of good stuff up on the sportscave.com. Cave is with the K. Had Hold Rubino, Devil's Digest, on the other day. Actually, his interview is cut up and it's loaded on the website for you just to click and play. No need to search, no need to look. Right there, front page, left-hand side. So, the Suns are going for eight. Actually, Reverse this back. Let's talk Diamondbacks first, because they're actively playing now. They found a way to lose yesterday. Bullpen, it's crazy with this team. The Diamondbacks is either you get great starting pitching and the bullpen blows up, or you get lousy starting pitching and the bullpen comes in and shuts the door, but the starting pitching was so bad that it didn't matter. Or you get good starting pitching, good bullpen pitching, and then the offense can't score. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Friday, but there's a scene in the kitchen where they say, "How come we can't never get two things that match?" That's the Diamondbacks. Days they pitch, they can't hit. Days they hit, they can't pitch. And this is a team that's just out and out struggling. And Torrey, before the game started today, actually last night, you know, he's confused as to what's going on in terms of how do you make it better at this point.
Correct. So, you know, my point of view might be a little bit differently than some. You know, we got off to a slow start and we know where our challenges were, and I'm seeing things improve piece by piece. So I can dissect it a lot of different ways, and it'll add to my frustration. But I can't get there. I can't allow that to happen. I got to keep this ship on its course and focus on the next day. And, you know, what my job will be tonight is to have conversations. I'll walk in tomorrow and do the best that I possibly can in every area to put good guys in the right position to help us win a baseball game.
And you know it's tough. And you know it's rough. When you're managing,
it's been a different mindset. I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes I don't know if I should laugh or if I should cry, but we're gonna be ready to play tomorrow.
Torrey is saying he doesn't even know if he should laugh or cry. That's when you don't not sure what's going on. And so as far as today, this team took a 2-1 lead, and they're down 4-2. I don't know what to say. I know we'll have more sounds on this tomorrow. I'm not going to keep talking about yesterday's game when there's a game being played right now, and we'll have sound and discuss it tomorrow. As far as the Suns go, the Suns are trying to go 8-0. They have played themselves into playing themselves into a game to possibly play themselves into the playoffs. Try to say that 50 times fast. They started out as the team with the longest of the long shots to get in. They put seven teams in front of them. They beat seven teams. And here's how it basically shakes down. First, they have to win. There's no getting around it. They have to win. And then they have to hope that either Portland or Memphis loses. If Portland or Memphis drops their game, then the Suns are going to play for the play-in game to play for the right to play in the playoffs. Impressive. And they're doing it. And Devin Booker is leading this team. Now, Dame Lillard is playing his butt off. He said he didn't want to come and play these games unless he had a real opportunity to make the playoffs. Well, guess what? Dame, you have a real shot to make the playoffs. This dude put up a 51-point game followed by a 61-point game. But you know one thing Portland hasn't done? They haven't won them all. And the Suns have won every single game. Now, here's the sad part, especially if you're a Phoenix fan. Suns could win tomorrow. They could go 8-0 and not get in. If Portland and Memphis win, they're in. And the way that they're playing, you definitely want to see the Suns in. I'll tell you what, it would be great basketball to watch Portland and Phoenix play. And that's no disrespect to Memphis. But Memphis is already without Jaren Jackson. We all know Ja Morant. No one really wants to watch Memphis play. And I'm speaking as a Homer fan now. No one wants to watch Memphis play. But you tell me I get a play-in game with Devin Booker and Damian Lillard, and you're going to wonder if that's a series or an elimination game that I won't watch? You're out of your mind. Clear a day to watch that. Devin Booker averaging over 30 points. Damian Lillard averaging over 30 points. You got young guys with the Suns and Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. You got Cameron Payne, who's popped up as a free agent signee during the bubble, pre-bubble, no basketball playing time. Javon Carter playing out of his mind. And you don't want to watch that? You don't want to watch that team play against Dame and CJ and Carmelo, Jerry Trent Jr., Whiteside? That's not something you want to see? That is just going to be fun basketball if we can get to it. But back to the Suns that can technically go 8-0 and not make the playoffs. Here's what Devin Booker said about going 8-0 and not making the playoffs.
That's life, man. Like you said, you know, we're controlling what we can control. That's the eight games that we play at. I'm proud of my guys regardless. We came in here with the right mindset, and, it could have been different. People could have been frustrated, coming out in the middle of a four-month hiatus to straight to basketball and leaving your family. But, we came in, we locked in, and made the sacrifice that we need to make. So, I don't think there's going to be any sad faces around here, whether we live here in the playoffs or not. We've put the work in, and we've grown as a team. We've took tremendous strides that I think will build for us for continuing years to come.
And Devin's not getting wound up one way or the other. He's not. He's still one day at a time. Can't skip steps.
There's more than one thing. I'd like to get away from here and reflect and see how we come into next season. But, I think we just figured out, if you come in and play every game the right way, communicate with each other, that we can win basketball games. And there's a thin line between winning and losing in this league. And you can't skip any steps. And we haven't done that down here. So, we've had goals. We've had tasks, we've had things that we had to overcome since we've been down here, and, you know, we understand the steps to get through it. You know, we haven't been taking any shortcuts, and that's been the reason for our success.
And when you're down there, it's not like there's all these side distractions. I mean, you can't get away from basketball. You basically hoop, go back to the hotel, eat, relax. Before everything got started, some guys went fishing, some guys did certain things, but now guys aren't even doing that. It's eat, recover, sleep, play. Eat, recover, sleep, play. You can't get away from basketball.
I think Jaylen Brown had a quote yesterday, is some guys want to get away from basketball after games, and you can't get away from it here. So I know we've been having a little intimate team meetups in our room watching the other games, so it's basketball all day, and I'm enjoying it. It doesn't really differ from my routine at home rather than having my family and friends around. But I'm usually just at the house preparing for a game, just chilling, and that's what I'm doing on here.
And Devin also talked about it. It's a mindset that you're in. It's a mindset that you get yourself going. Devin not once has broken that mindset.
When we came down here, Coach said the way we navigate uncertainty is how we're going to turn out down here. And, you know, it's a different situation, different format, which I keep saying, but you know, we came in with the right mindset. And we're ready to go. So like I just said earlier, you know, we're treating this as just another game. You know, we didn't come in saying we wanted to win 8 in a row. You know, we just wanted to win one game 8 times. So we're keeping it that way. And we're excited for this matchup.
One game left. The one good thing, and I think Monty said this after the previous win, they've committed to a style of play. And they haven't left that commitment yet.
I mean, what's working for us is we've committed to a style of play. We've been able to adapt to different situations. Obviously, being in this bubble has been like 2 training camps for us to be able to have, you know, a couple weeks of practice and then games against the best teams in the league. And we haven't accomplished anything. You know, that's it may sound like coach speak. Speech, but we dug ourselves a hole with our record. We scrapped all year long. We won up some games, but it's been an uphill battle for us, and we've done a good job of getting to this point, and no one knew we were going to be here, but we're here, and we're thankful for that, but we haven't accomplished anything as far as the main goal, which, you know, everybody's just trying to get to the playoffs. And we just said we're going to take it one step at a time. Our next focus is our video session in the morning and actually tonight. The guys get back and eat right and recover and hydrate and all the stuff we have to do to get ready for tomorrow. So that's been my mindset, to do the next right thing and to get our guys thinking that way and try to keep this thing going the way it has.
And like I said, I couldn't remember if that was before the game yesterday or if it was in between the back-to-backs, but they haven't skipped a beat. And when one guy is down, another guy picks him up. One game is Dario, one game is Devon, one game is Cam. Now, the consistent has always been booked. And our friend Earl Burnett over at KSRN is always on Aiden. DeAndre Ayton, and I always tell him, leave him alone. But there's one point he made. We need a consistent DeAndre. And that goes from making sure that you remember to take your COVID test to playing with a certain amount of pissed offness all the time. Not sometimes, all the time. And it will. It'll come. I still believe it. I still believe he's just a young guy, and it'll come. But he's one of the guys that you have to be able to count on every single night. And I look for him to have a big game on Thursday. There are 3 guys the Suns have to count on every single night, no matter what. No matter what. And if one of them is down in one statistical category, they have to be doing something else to make up for that. But Booker, Rubio, and Aiden, they have to come with A games no matter what. Because then when you get that lift from Cam, the Cams, I'll just say it like that, Payne and Johnson, from Mikal Bridges, from a Javon Carter, from a Dario Saric, then when you get that lift, that's how you consistently beat the good teams over and over. But they're doing something right. And I don't want anyone to lose sight of that. And it's amazing the buzz in the city of Phoenix when the Suns are playing well. And I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. Football is great. Everyone loves football. Football, you don't have to necessarily be a fan of a football team to have a buzz for a game. Hell, half the people that go to watch the Super Bowl, half of them don't even know who's playing, or half of them haven't even watched the team play over the course of the year. But they know there's a Super Bowl party. They know there's drinks and food and a game. And hell, some people go to the Super Bowl party not to watch the game, just show up at the Super Bowl party because it's football. And I'm not talking about those hardcore fans. I'm not talking about the Patriot fans and the Steelers and the Bears and the Packers and all those fans that watch every second of every game, whatever it's on. I'm talking that person who doesn't have a horse in the race, but they still show up to watch a Super Bowl because they know it's going to be fun, food, great commercials, and hopefully a good halftime. But basketball is different. Basketball is usually about the city that they're in, especially if it's the city's homegrown team. I was fortunate enough to grow up in Chicago when the Bulls won their first three. They're a Chicago team. That city lost its mind because they're Chicago's team. When the Bears won, city lost its mind. Chicago's team. White Sox, Cubs, Blackhawks, go on and on because they're Chicago's teams. In Phoenix, when the Cardinals do well, people are there. And football, because it's popular, is gaining a level of that same energy because it's football. But if you go to a Cardinals game and they're playing the Bears, you're still going to get 50% Bears. You go see the Cowboys, you're going to get 50% Cowboys. Go see the Raiders, you're going to get 50% Raiders. Go see the Steelers, you're going to get 50% Steelers. So it's not really a Cardinals as much as, per se, it's a football fan town. The Coyotes can make the playoffs. You may hear about it once or twice. The Diamondbacks, there's a certain buzz to them, but they haven't been here long enough for fathers to make sure their sons like that team only. A lot of fathers, by the time baseball came in the 90s, they were still rooting for the team that they rooted for as kids. So it needs another generation. But the Suns, on the other hand, they've been around long enough everyone to know who they are, root for them, and it's their team. So even though the Suns can't feel it because they're in the bubble, everyone is vibing about the Phoenix Suns. So we'll see what happens. We'll talk more tomorrow about them. We'll get you all the sound that we can get you about the Phoenix Suns and how it's going to go. We're going to take a short, did I say short already? Super short break. We'll be right back. We'll wrap this show up.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Wow. Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. And we're going to get this bad boy wrapped up and send you into Friday Eve with a smile on your face. So, here's the deal. In that short span, Diamondbacks managed to take the lead. And Diamondbacks managed to get that lead back up. From what I said, can't get two things to match. Either you got pitching and no hitting, hitting, no pitching. There's still time. We'll find out what happens with this game. The Phoenix Mercury play again today as well. Their season started out really slow with a couple losses. Then they put together some wins. Then they dropped one. And a lot of that has to do with the game that they lost. They just couldn't get anything going, couldn't get anything working. And it was one of those games. And then on top of that, you mess around and you lose Dana Taurasi, who had to sit out the last game that they played against Dallas. But they were able to pull that out. They're 5-3 on the season. They got the Chicago Sky again, second time. They're 5-3 as well. And so we'll see how that shakes down tonight. After their last game, after the last victory, got a chance to catch up with Skylar Diggins, and she said everything that they've done, everything that they've accomplished, and it starts and it finishes and it ends always on the defensive side.
I think it starts defensively. I know it starts defensively for us. When we're able to give energy on defense, play team defense, rebound, then we're able to get out in transition, and that's where we want to play our game at. You know, we want to be a downhill team, north and south, you know, pushing the pace and transition. And I thought that we were able to do that once we were able to string along a few stops. Their team, they could shoot the ball. We didn't really guard the 3-point as well as we wanted to in the first quarter. But I thought we did a better job finishing out the half and carrying in to the third quarter. We went on a run, but it was great contributions from everybody. You know, Bree Turner, Mia Coffey had herself a game today. Obviously, BG was BG, and you know, I was just trying to pick and choose my spots and be aggressive early. It was a great team win against a Dallas team that's a tough team to play.
Well, they play again tonight in a couple hours. So we'll have sound tomorrow from that game. And look, we got to get ready to jump out of here because time is going to catch us. But the other night, Devin Booker hit a shot from about half court. And I thought, shot clock winding down, he had to shoot it. He had to put it up. And I just love what he said after he shot it when, you know, he was asked a question about the shot. Half court, yada, yada, yada. And this is what Devin said.
You know, I don't shoot any shots to miss them.
You like that? I'll play it again for you.
You know, I don't shoot any shots to miss them.
Love that. I love that. But anyway, let's wrap this up. I had to end it on a positive note today. So tomorrow, Suns, Diamondbacks, Mercury, college football. We'll have all of it here for you on the Cave Show. Today, thank you again to Michelle Gardner, ASU beat writer for the Arizona Republic, for joining us. A lot of great insight. Make sure you're following us on social media at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Again, Cave is with the K. SportsCave.com is the website. Cave is with the K. And you can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow to do this. And as usual, we say, Temptations. Bring us home.